The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, looking ahead to the 10 Premier League games this weekend. Dave Kellner here in the studio with both Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern on the line on this Friday morning. First of all, it's a good morning to Mr. Derek McGovern.
Good morning, how are you doing, chaps?
Very well, thank you, sir. And Mr. Phelps?
I'm very well. I'm probably not that far from Derek, actually. I'm just on the outskirts of Liverpool now, but I've been to Aintree to film AP McCoy, so I'm on my way back.
Yeah, you're on the way back with your tongue hanging out because it's Ladies' Day.
the funny thing is, Derek, you know all these horrible rumours about people taking wheels off your cars and stuff like that?
Yeah.
My car's that bad, they put new wheels on it.
I thought you'd gone over to Liverpool to see what it's like to pick a winning nap to try and get some information from Derek.
Not recently, he hasn't. Jesus Christ, my form has got... I'm like Sergio Aguero, gone at the game.
Let's get stuck into this week. We'll get to the naps at the end of the programme, if we must. Swansea versus Everton is first up this weekend. Swansea 6-4, the draw 11-5, Everton 15-8. Saturday, 12:45 PM kickoff. Derek, both these teams actually in reasonable form at the moment. Swansea 8th in the league with 46 points. Everton up to 12th after their win against Southampton. Everton actually looking for 4 straight wins for the first time this season. Interesting match, this one. A match with nothing really at stake.
Well, that's it. What a game to start the weekend. Both teams will have their flip-flops on. That's how warm it's been lately. why on earth have they chosen this game? It's nothing at stake whatsoever. All I would say is that in recent seasons when the old sage Ron was on, he made a very, very important point that Everton, whenever they went to Swansea, they just knew how to play against them. They pressed them high, and Swansea's passing game just went haywire whenever Everton came to town. I think the Blues have won three visits running at Swansea. Hasn't worked this season, of course. It was 0-0 at Goodison, and Swansea beat them 3-0 in the Cup in Wales earlier on in the season. But I like the look of Everton here. I think they're playing now like we've been expecting Everton to play all season. It's taken them a long time, but some very, very good results. You mentioned 3 straight wins in the league. It's actually 4 wins in the last 5, if you include a Europa League game against Dynamo Kiev. Yeah, Swansea are playing okay, but I think Swansea are always beatable. I'm always prepared to back against Swansea when you're getting a decent price, and I think Everton at 15-8, I think that's a decent price. I'm going to go for the Blues here.
Just to elaborate on something Derek was saying there as well, Lee, you look at that record they've got against Swansea, it is terrific. They've won 13 and drawn 6 of their last 19 league games against Swansea. Swansea did, however, beat them in the Cup earlier this season. Two managers in Gary Monk and Roberto Martinez, Lee, that are finishing the season quite strongly.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with most of the stuff that Derek said then. It must be the Liverpool air or something. And I just think that, you know, going back, that record was formed when, if you remember when Swansea first came into the Premier League, and they seemed to have a bit of a way of playing against most teams. And I always remember that it was David Moyes who figured it out first. I think along with Harry Redknapp, actually, when he was Tottenham manager, they were the teams who could go to Swansea, pressure them high up the pitch and stop Swansea at source almost, so they didn't have the time to pass the ball around. Most teams just let them pass it around. And I think a lot of teams still do that. It's almost like, we'll have the ball because you're not doing us any damage. Then they become hard to break down, and the game's then played at Swansea's pace. I think Everton will score goals here, as long as, along with that form that's suddenly found its way to Everton, to Goodison Park, are the goals. You know, and they have started to score a lot more goals. You look at their away form up until recently, and the goal scoring was absolutely dreadful. But I think they'll get goals here. I'm looking at Everton win and over 2.5 goals in the match, because you look at Swansea's home form, and they've only failed to score on 3 occasions, and that was against 3 of the better teams in the division as well, in Chelsea, Southampton, being 2 of them. So I think they can score. I must admit, I mean, I've not been a fan of Bafétimbi Gomez at all, but watching him now, I mean, he's starting to throw his weight around a little bit, and he's, you know, there's plenty of that. He's a big lad, and he's starting to put himself about, and he's getting in the right places. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got on the score sheet. But yeah, Everton, I can see a 2-1 here to Everton. So Everton to win, and over 2.5 goals for me.
18-5, Everton to win, and over 2.5 goals looks good. And Everton just to win, straight win in the 90 minutes for Derek, which is in the market at 15-8. Next up, it's Burnley versus Arsenal. This is a 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Burnley 9-2, the draw 3-1. Arsenal in the market at 4-7. Burnley, Lee, are bound to be tested here against this rampant Arsenal side at the moment. They've won seven straight in the Premier League. And to put that in context, no side has won 8 in a row this season. They had that devastating 8-minute spell against Liverpool last weekend, which settled that match. And Lee, your man, Olivier Giroud, continues to score. He's got 10 in 10 for the Gunners.
Yeah, and he's scored in successive matches more than any other player since Emmanuel Adebayor for Arsenal in 2008. You mentioned about Burnley, they'll have to be on it. I mean, they'll have to be on it in every single defensive way they possibly can. You know, they are a very good, solid unit, and they obviously listen to the manager, but, you know, Arsenal are a team at the minute who can cut you apart from open play. And they've scored more goals from set pieces than any other team in the division. So, you know, just when you think it's safe and the ball's gone out for a corner, or you've got a free kick around the box, then it's, you know, they cause just as much trouble from that. And I think that's what will be Burnley's undoing in the end. You know, the game against Tottenham was an absolute shocker, but they got what they wanted, a point from a top 6-7 team. So I think they'll try and do the same thing against Arsenal. There's no way they can outscore Arsenal. You know, they're one of the weakest teams in front of goal in the division anyway. So there's no way the manager's going into this game thinking, yeah, we'll outscore Arsenal. I think they'll try and get a 0-0 and they'll sit in. But I think Arsenal will break them down. I can see an Arsenal 1 or 2-0. So I'm going to go for the Arsenal win. I couldn't back them just on their own, because this is the sort of game where they are likely to throw in an absolute horror show. I think Arsenal will win, but it might only be like a 1 or 2-0 win. So Arsenal to win and under 2.5 goals for me.
Arsenal 1-0 in the market at 13-2 here with William Hill. Arsenal 2-0 is 7-1. Derek, Lee mentioned that game against Tottenham at the weekend. That was a drab affair. And what Burnley did is they squeezed the pitch, didn't they? They played quite a high line and Tottenham never got in behind them. Do you expect Arsene Wenger to maybe play Theo Walcott or possibly Danny Welbeck and try and run in behind them on Saturday?
Well, I think he'll be confident enough to get a result whoever he plays, because that's what Arsenal are doing at the moment. But, you know, it comes down, I'm a punter first and foremost, and it comes down to the odds. And how much better are Arsenal than Tottenham? I mean, the league table says that, you know, they're a few places better. Well, last week, Tottenham, when they went to Burnley, were odds against, I think they were 11-10, weren't they? Now, Arsenal are 4-7. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just not having that. Yeah, the form's been great, but 4-7. You look at Burnley. Oh, people say Burnley gone off the boil, but in recent weeks they played Chelsea, Man City, Tottenham, Southampton, Liverpool. You know, and they haven't been disgraced by any of them. A point against Tottenham, 3 points against City, a point against Chelsea. Why shouldn't they get something against Arsenal on home territory? I think they're doing really well right now, Burnley. Okay, they're not scoring goals, but, you know, they're well capable of giving Arsenal a game. And you're getting 7-5 Burnley with a goal start. Yeah, I just know you have to oppose Arsenal at these odds here, and that's the way I'm opposing them. Burnley with a goal start for me.
Okay, Burnley 9-2, the draw 3-1, Arsenal 4-7. The two headline offers there, by the way, Danny Ings to score and Burnley to win is in the market at 8-1. Olivier Giroud to score and Arsenal to win in the betting at 6-4. Let's move on to Sunday's televised matches, and we'll start off with QPR versus Chelsea. 1:30 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon. QPR 7-1, the draw 7-2, Chelsea 2-5. Headline offers here: Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win is 12-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win in the market at 6-4. A couple of big results, Derek, back-to-back for QPR, with that win at West Brom followed by the draw at Villa. They're finally scoring goals as well. They're actually fifth in the table if you look at shots per game, and that's starting to finally pay dividends this season.
Well, if you look as well, you know, I mentioned Burnley before and the trouble they're having in front of goal. Well, QPR have scored in each of their last six games. And in that run, they've played the likes of Tottenham and Arsenal and Everton. I mean, you know, they're doing okay now. They're playing what you'd expected of QPR to play, given the clientele they've got there. And I don't think Chelsea are going to have an easy run, an easy time of it here. They don't generally at Loftus Road. They drew 0-0 their last time they played. They lost 1-0. Remember that game two or three seasons ago? And they're meeting QPR at just the wrong time, i.e. when QPR are in form and Chelsea aren't. This is another Burnley-Arsenal game for me. The odds are wrong. You know, the suggestion Chelsea have just got to turn up to win, I'm not having it. I'm going to go for another handicapped game here, and QPR with a goal start at 15-8. Don't forget as well, by the way, there's a big subtext to this game with the John Terry race affair, especially Rio Ferdinand's playing. And, you know, Chelsea are going to have to fight for everything they get here, and they're not playing that well right now, the Blues. I think this is another very good handicap bet.
Okay, QPR plus one at 15-8 for Derek. Chelsea, Lee, without Diego Costa, he's got a hamstring problem. Cesc Fabregas is a major doubt for the game, having undergone surgery on a broken nose as well. I find it interesting to pontificate to the lineup Jose Mourinho is going to set here. Do you think he's going to try and play it tight and think that maybe... Maybe a point's good enough for Chelsea here? It's a possibility that Jose Mourinho might set up his team just to get a point.
No, I don't think he will set up for a point at all. I think he'll go for the win. I've said a couple of weeks now that, you know, they've got some tough games coming up, Chelsea, and I think they need to win everything that is winnable. And you would look at QPR and think this is definitely a winnable game for Chelsea, as well as their playing. I think QPR can get a good loss, if you know what I mean, in inverted commas, would keep their momentum going. Agree with Derek about the goals. You know, Ramsey's done brilliant, hasn't he? He's scored in every single game that he's managed. You know, they're scoring plenty at the moment as well. And, you know, you look at a few of Chelsea's away results. You know, it's not like they've kept clean sheets all the way through. And, you know, there's been a few games, you know, in the last few months where they've taken the lead and it looks all nice and easy for them. Then suddenly the other team gets a goal and they have to put the foot back down on the pedal. And I think that's how this game will pan out. I see Chelsea winning it maybe 2-1. My bet's not going to be on the outright, so, because I have got a little bit of a funny feeling about it. I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if QPR managed to get a draw out of it. So I'm going to go for Charlie Austin to score any time in this one. He's scored 17 of their 38 goals this season. He's always around the box, of course. He's having a brilliant season, great finisher. He scored at Stamford Bridge when they lost 2-1, remember. And that was a similar game to the one I've kind of, you know, described as perhaps happening, where Chelsea took the lead, QPR got one back, and then Chelsea went on to win the game. So Charlie Austin to score at any time is my bet. If you want a bit more value, maybe the kind of the lose cast, Charlie Austin to score in a Chelsea win. But I'll just go for Charlie Austin to score at any time.
Yeah, 5-2, good price. Next up, big game of the weekend, Manchester United versus Manchester City, Sunday 4 p.m. Manchester United 6-4. The draw is 23-10. Manchester City 9-5. Headline offers are Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 4-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win is also 4-1. Any pretensions Manchester City had of chasing Chelsea down to win the title, Lee, have gone up in smoke recently. Losses against Burnley and Crystal Palace. That Champions League exit against Barcelona sandwiched in between. And it's their away form, really, that has cost them recently, Lee.
Yeah, it has, yeah. I mean, you look through their form all season long, and it's been their away form that's cost them conceding goals and obviously not getting the wins. Tricky game to call this, isn't it? You know, from a pure betting point of view, you have to look very seriously at Manchester City, even though they're not in great form. You know, surely they get up for this one. If there's no other game that can get them going, this is the game, surely. We said last week, and I didn't really kind of almost take my own advice, you know, that idea of not being able to get up to finish second when you're the champions, you know, that not playing, maybe you said, DK, not playing for the manager, and it does appear that, but if you're a footballer and you go into the Manchester derby at Old Trafford with the chance of being, you know, of Man United finishing above you in the table, which means a lot to the United players, I imagine, and staff, a lot more than it probably does to City, I think they'll get up for this. And I don't think on an outright selection you can ignore City or the draw here. I wouldn't be taking Man U. I mean, they are playing great and they are very confident, but City have got a bit of a sign over them as well recently. It'll be a huge test for Man United's confidence, I think. If they come out of this to the win, then, I mean, you know, I think they'll chase Chelsea down to the last day, to be honest with you. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's a couple of like obvious bets, if you like, here. At Old Trafford, over 2.5 goals has landed in each of the last six head-to-heads between these two. Both teams to score has landed in five of the last six as well, so you can have that bet. The over 2.5 goals and both teams to score seems like it's a pretty likely one. I think attacks and midfield will dominate over defence and defensive midfield, to be fair, especially the way United come out. You know, we've seen how they attack in the first half. I think they'll do the same thing here. Why not? Why sit back? Go for the jugular against City. So I think that's a definite play. I'll be playing over 2.5 and both teams to score. I also like my old classic, City to have the most bookings points, as usual. Not available as we record this in terms of a price, but usually available on a Saturday morning. Every time I put this up and it's not quoted, it tends to be 8 to 13, 8 to 11 for City to have the most bookings points. I'm hoping it might be a tad bigger this time, just to update the stats. They've had the most bookings away from home in the Premier League in 11 of their 14 away games so far. So it's a very compelling stat. I've explained umpteen times why, so I won't do it again. But I'll be playing that.
We've got betting available on that, Lee. 4 to 5 Man City to have the most booking points.
I'll take that.
Yeah, 4 to 5 the price on that. If you fancy both teams to score in the game and over 2.5 goals, that's slight odds against at 21 to 20. Do you agree with Lee, Derek?
No, with respect, you're talking bollocks. I don't agree with a single word of that, Lee. Honestly, I mean, I think you got the odds wrong in the outright. You know, I think they've changed since you looked there, because I think it's 17 to 10 each of two here, Man United and Man City.
It has changed.
It is, yeah. It's just changed, Derek. Yeah,
I can't understand why. Why? On what basis are City joint favourites with Man United here? United are above them. They're on home territory. They're playing better. I don't understand. I think United are a solid gold bet here. I know everyone's talking about local bragging rights, but I mean, I've been to Manchester. There ain't much to brag about. bragging wrongs. Now you're talking. But it's more. There's more to it than that, isn't there? I mean, given what City have done to United, you know, at Old Trafford as well in recent seasons, if there's one team going to be up for it, it's going to be United. City. I mean, the manager. The City manager looks as though he's out on his ear. The United manager looks like a thumb. Well, he stumbled. Louis van Gaal has stumbled on his best team, but the bad news for him, it's the one that David Moyes got sacked for assembling. I mean, how's that happened? What kind of a manager is it? But it doesn't matter. The players are doing, the United players are doing fantastically, despite, not because of, Louis van Gaal. And I think at 17 to 10 here, they're an absolutely monster bet.
You must like that headline offer as well. Rooney to score and Man United to win. 4-1, Derek. He's the man, isn't he?
Well, listen, I've gone on about Rooney. I should hate him. Played for Everton, now plays for Man United. I should hate him. I love Rooney. And when Thierry Henry was on the TV last week, you know, he was basically saying what I was saying, but a little bit more sexily. You know, he can't understand why, you know, anybody doubts this guy. The guy is, I mean, you know, he's the best English player. He's just a terrific player. And yeah, that is a great bet.
Are you saying that French accent's more sexy than your Scouse accent, Derek?
Marginally, I'll just give him the vote.
Manchester United versus Manchester City, big game this weekend. Manchester United 17-10, the draw 21-10, Man City 17-10. Rooney to score, Man United to win 4-1. Aguero to score, Man City to win is also 4-1. Let's move on to Monday night's live match. Liverpool versus Newcastle, 8 p.m. kickoff. Liverpool 4-9, the draw 16-5, and Newcastle in the market at 7-1. Derek, this has become a must-win for Liverpool if they're going to remain in the hunt for the top four players. And that result midweek against, even though it was only Blackburn, it could act as a catalyst for the remainder of the season.
Well, it was a welcome relief. I thought they'd given up winning for Lent. I mean, it was just a terrible run of form they were in. And you know, I don't think that result has papered over the cracks. You mentioned it's a must-win for Liverpool, but it's not. It's not now. It's the FA Cup and nothing else. They're 7 points behind Man City now, Liverpool, with 7 games to go in the race for fourth place. In other words, they ain't going to do it. I mean, Brendan Rodgers pretty much ruled it out anyway after the defeat by Arsenal last week, and they just aren't playing well enough. I thought Liverpool were decidedly ordinary against Blackburn, you know, and they've played like that for about 5 weeks now. So I'm not having them at these kind of odds, except that it's Newcastle. And Jesus Christ, if you want to play against anybody and guarantee yourself 3 points these days, Newcastle are the team that you'd pick. I can't make a case for Newcastle. That's the problem. The kind of price they're playing against the Liverpool side who aren't in form, and who might just have their eyes on the FA Cup semi-final against Villa. I just wish it was somebody else playing Liverpool, because I'd go for them. But I can't go for them because it's Newcastle. I'm really stuck on this one. 4-9 Liverpool makes zero appeal. You know what I might do? I might go for a 0-0 draw here, because I've just got a feeling that neither side will be up for it.
12-1 if you fancy the 0-0 draw here with William Hill. Both these sides, Lee, defensively have massive problems. Martin Skrtel's banned. Mamadou Sakho is out after suffering a hamstring injury.
That's a problem
against
for Newcastle.
So Liverpool even more stretched defensively. And Newcastle have big problems as well at the back. If Darryl Yanmat is ruled out of this game, they're left with only Mike Williamson and Ryan Taylor as senior defenders. 0-0 for Derek, but if these two sides manage to keep the opposition out, it will be magical as far as I'm concerned.
First of all, I don't think you're ever going to get to the end of that intro. second of all, I agree with Derek in terms of the lack of goals. I think if Newcastle had a better attack, and if Cissé was playing, I might look at them scoring, but I can't see them scoring. I can't see them wanting to trouble Liverpool's defence. They look like they're giving up the ghost. They're playing flip-flops if they can afford them. I don't even think the owner would give them a pair of flip-flops from his sports shop, to be fair. John Carver's just been left high and dry, it seems to me, up at Newcastle. Fans aren't happy. You mentioned the defence. No quality defenders, really. No real hope, I don't think, at Newcastle at the minute. It's a dreadful, dreadful, you know, kind of place to be in terms of, you know, a fan of the football club. I think Liverpool have got enough to score goals here. I agree with Derek in terms of low scoring, but I'll go for the Liverpool win and under 2.5 goals. I could see a controlled Liverpool performance, try and get back to basics, passing the ball around, keeping it away from Newcastle, dominating the game, but without too much excitement. Maybe a couple of goals, maybe a 2-0 to Liverpool at Anfield and move on and just give themselves a little bit more confidence ahead of that FA Cup semi-final. Because at the minute, unless they find some goals, Villa could outscore them in that semi-final, believe it or not. You know, Villa look better going forward at the moment than Liverpool do. They just look so abject at the moment, Liverpool. So I think a confidence-boosting, low-scoring win for Liverpool. Liverpool and under 2.5.
Just a quick one. I know earlier in the week I wrote something in the Mirror. Newcastle 150-1 to be relegated. Is it a possibility, do you think, the way they're playing? They're 35 points, the 9 points clear of the drop zone with seven games to go. There shouldn't be any possibility at all. But you just see the way they're playing right now. Do you think there's a chance?
I think they're about 2 points off, aren't they, of absolutely guaranteeing safety. 35 points might be enough.
Yeah. So in other words, you don't think there's a chance.
If you think about those other teams, think about those other teams at the bottom as well who are in the bottom three. I mean, and even the ones who are just above on like 28 points. But if you've got 26 points now, you still need another 9 to get to Newcastle. Only 8 games left.
Yeah.
It's still a lot to ask for, but it's probably worth a quid, isn't it? Just in case you get a run for your money. I don't think they're going to win many games between now and the end of the season.
No, well, their performance last week approached the laughable, didn't it, against Sunderland? Mm. I've approached the laughable many times. I got nowhere with any of them. I just think I can't see where they're going to pick up another point. Maybe a 0-0 draw against Liverpool is the best they can get. But they won't go down, I know. But, you know, I just thought I'd throw
big
that way.
Liverpool to win an under 2.5 goals is 5-2 for Lee, and Derek going with the 0-0 draw at 12-1. On to the non-televised matches this weekend. West Ham versus Stoke first up. West Ham 13-10. The draw 11-5. Stoke 11-5. Not sure, Lee, what there is to say about this match. Both teams locked together on 42 points respectively. Neither in danger of getting to Europe, neither in danger of getting relegated.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I was hoping this was a Sunday live game and Sky could do like a big promo. The battle for 8th spot in the Premier League. That is what it is for, isn't it? You know, it's 8th is as good as they can finish. And I suppose both teams will have an eye on that. I just reminded myself of West Ham's recent record. 1 win in 10 in all competitions. 1 win in 9 in the Premier League. It's terrible. You know, they've run out of goals. I was reading about Stuart Downing. Remember when Stuart Downing was the next best thing and he was getting England mentions? Well, he's like, all of the great work he had was pre-New Year. Since the New Year, he's barely had an assist, barely, you know, had anything to do with their forward play. And the goals have dried up. Enner Valencia is expected back this weekend, which may give him a bit of a lift. I'm struggling with who wins it, because the problem with Stoke is, as much as I like watching Stoke, they don't seem to really have much end product for all the good play. I do think it'll be open, though, and I do think there should be goals in this game, because, you know, as poor as West Ham have been, I think Stoke may drag them into a bit of a game. So I'm going to play a pretty boring one and just go over 2.5 goals in this match, DK.
Over 2.5 goals in the game for Lee. I think it's 21-20, by the way, odds against over 2.5 goals. I think they've struggled without James Tompkins, Lee. I think that's been the problem for West Ham. I know that he's not a big name, but he was talismanic for them early on in the season.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, but I think they've just run out of quality players like him, and Valencia has been missing. You know, Sacco had that injury, and I think ever since then they've just, that momentum that they had seems to have just has left them. And then, you know, the crowd don't really the crowd don't like the manager. Full stop. And that must seep through. You know, there's not a great atmosphere there when they're especially if they go a goal down against Stoke at home. There'll be people booing this team who let's be fair, despite the recent run, have done very well this season for them. So yeah, I think it's just a bit of a sour atmosphere, but I think there'll be goals. Maybe 2-1 either way, I think, maybe.
I think, Derek, as well, it could be a similar situation to what's happening at Manchester City. I think Allardyce obviously knows he's on the way out, and I think Manuel Pellegrini probably knows the same thing, and the form's dipped subsequently.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's dipped a lot longer than Man City's has, hasn't it? I mean, I can't remember, apart from that Sunderland game a couple of weeks ago, it would say one, but everybody was beating Sunderland then. I can't remember another performance from West Ham. I think Stoke are real good bets here. Remember a few weeks ago, I was a bit unkind to Stoke. I said, you know, their form's dipped a bit, but they'd actually just won 3 straight games. But since then, since I said that, they've lost 3 straight, so maybe I preempted that. But I do fancy them here, though. I just think Stoke are still playing. I think Stoke is seeing the season out, even though they don't have to, really. Whereas West Ham aren't. West Ham gave up the ghost a while ago, and I think there's a bit of value about the Potters here.
Okay, Stoke, the pick at 11-5, the draw 11-5, West Ham in the market at 13-10. The headline offers there, Diafra Sacco to score and West Ham to win is 7-2. John Walters to score and Stoke to win in the market at 6-1. On to West Brom versus Leicester, again Saturday at 3 p.m. West Brom 13-10, the draw 11-5, Leicester 11-5. Headline offers, Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win 7-2. Andre Kramaric to score and Leicester to win is in the market at 6-1. Derek, the odds for this match would have looked a lot different a week ago, really.
Yeah.
West Brom odds on at home to QPR last weekend, now odds against hosting Leicester.
Yeah.
But last weekend's changed things slightly.
Not half. I mean, who'd have thought that? A 4-1 win for QPR. I mean, what, you know, a QPR win, okay, a possibility, but not a 4-1 win against a side managed by you-know-who. I can't square that result, but they conceded 3 against City the week before as well. Maybe they think they've done enough. Maybe the players there think they're all right. I'm not so sure, but only 33 points. My problem with this one is that Leicester, looking where they are in the league, they've got to go for a win. They can't go farting around looking for a point here and there. They've got to go for a win here. But they're up against a manager who will think, well, yeah, you know, a point will do us very nicely. It'll keep the others at arm's length. And the odds for the draw are the same for the odds for a Leicester win. I'm going to go for the draw here at 11-5. I just don't think... I can't see West Brom go and help a leather when a point will do them, I think.
Your thoughts, Lee?
Tony Pulis has said pretty much the same as what Derek said, you know, about, you know, they took their eyes off the ball, they thought they were there already. I loved how he said they powder puffed their way through the game, which is a new one on me, but yeah. I quite like it. And, you know, I think that's what they were like. It just looked like that, like, oh, we've done our job. And I think Pulis will have got right into them this week. I think they will have been on the training pitch just doing pure defensive manoeuvres all week long. I think we'll see a clean sheet. I think he'll get back to what they were doing. You know, those clean sheets they managed in the run-up to that game. I think it was 5 in 6 home games under his reign. Interestingly, I looked at the teams they'd played against, and all those teams who they got clean sheets against had scored 15 away goals. Leicester have scored 14. So I think Leicester fit into that category very well. I think Leicester, looking at their remaining fixtures, I think they will be targeting their home games rather than their away games in particular. I think they'll be looking to make sure they don't lose away games if they possibly can. So I think they'll set up and be pretty happy with West Brom not going hell for leather at them. But I think West Ham will just about get it done here. So I would go for West Brom on the outrights if forced. But I'm going to play under 1.5 goals here. I think West Brom might just nick it 1-0, or it could be a 0-0 if he really goes defensive purely, just to kind of almost teach his players a lesson. We grind out a point here.
Under 1.5 goals is in the market at 9-4. West Brom in the betting at 13-10. The draw 11-5. Leicester 11-5. On to Southampton versus Hull. Southampton 8-15. The draw is 11-4. And Hull in the market at 6-1. Derek, the odds skewed heavily in Southampton's favour. Are Hull really that bad? Since February the 1st, Southampton have only taken 2 more points than Hull and have played a game more. And in addition to this, they've only scored 5 goals, Southampton, in their last 9 Premier League matches.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fielding against Southampton for much of the season. Been made to look a mug most times, but now and again it's paid dividends, and I've got a sneaking feeling it might do again. Is there any mileage for Southampton left in the league now, given where they are? I'm not sure there is. Hull obviously need the points, you know, because they're still in the relegation zone. And when you look at the way they performed, Hull this is, against Chelsea a couple of weeks ago, they got beat 3-2 at home, but they did not give Chelsea a scare. They're capable of going to St Mary's and winning. My worry is what they did at Swansea last week, when I fancied them to win at big prices, and they never really looked like winning against a Swansea team who, you know, should be playing in flip-flops. I just know that Southampton are too short here. What you've just said, the recent form, if you put a six-match form table up there, you know, there wouldn't be, Southampton and Hull wouldn't be too far apart, and you're getting decent prices against Steve Bruce's men. Yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for Hull here. I think Southampton are woefully underpriced.
Hull, the selection for Derek at 6-1.
Has Derek not learned his lesson from last week back in Hull? I'm not a big fan of Hull's, to be fair. You look at their goals and their attacking potential, it's so poor. So few clear-cut chances created in each game. Very low on in terms of how many goals they score away from home. Even lower when they haven't got Jelavic in the team. And, you know, as Derek will attest to, that's not a great thing, is it? You know, he's hardly the most prolific player in the world. So I'm not keen on Hull scoring here, especially when you look at that Southampton defence. It's second best home defence in the division. How are Hull suddenly going to prize it open? I think it's low on the goals here, definitely. But I'm going to go for a Southampton win. You know, Graziano Pella's due a goal at some point soon. It's ages since he scored now. I think 14 matches since he scored. Scored for Italy, of course, and he went close last weekend. So I think Graziano Pella will get on the score sheet. I think Southampton will win the game by 1 or maybe 2 goals to 0. So I'm going to go for Southampton to win the game and under 2.5 goals.
Okay, under 2.5 goals in the match. Southampton maybe just to edge it. If you fancy that, Southampton and under 2.5 goals, that's 9-5 in the betting. A couple of matches to come, and we'll start with Tottenham versus Aston Villa. Saturday, 3 p.m, Tottenham 8-13, the draw 14-5, and Aston Villa are in the market at 9-2. Headline offers here: Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 6-4. A Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win is 9-1. Incredible match, Derek, at Villa Park on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Christian Benteke's hat-trick rescuing that point for Villa. A match that, believe it or not, Tim Sherwood believes his team deserved to win, Derek.
He does look through rose-tinted glasses, Tim Sherwood. Tottenham, I've had no problem polishing off Villa at White Hart Lane in recent seasons. 3-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-1. They won at Villa Park earlier in the season. Yeah, it was a horror show for them against Burnley last week. But I don't see them slipping up here against Villa. And I know that Villa are in the relegation zone, but if you're playing for Villa now and you've got an FA Cup semi-final the week after, is there a possibility that you've got an eye on that? I know you shouldn't have, because you're still knee-deep in relegation trouble. But I think I can't see Tottenham not winning this. And what's more, I think Villa are a desperately poor side, and I'm going to back Tottenham to win to nil here. I'm feeling against Villa big time. I mean, if this was Arsenal would be something like 1-3 here. I think you keep getting Tottenham at backable prices. Tottenham to win to nil, which I think is around about the even money mark, I think. So,
bigger than that, Derek. 17-10 Tottenham to win to nil.
17-10, that's massive, isn't it? I'm going for that, yeah.
Okay, Tottenham to win to nil, 17-10. It is that extra dimension in this game, isn't it? Tim Sherwood going back to Tottenham lead. Do you think that gives them any impetus?
To who, though? Tottenham or Aston Villa? I just think, you know, whatever you think of Tim Sherwood, and he is he's an arrogant man, isn't he? But he does tell us quite clearly what he's going to do with his team. He's said time and time again now about the fact that, you know, this isn't a defensive team he's got at Aston Villa. They're more suited to hitting on the counter and playing attacking football. I'm not going to say that they're going to go four men up front and try and, you know, pulverise Tottenham, but I think what that does is leave gaps at the back, and we know they've also got some walking wounded at Villa. I think Tottenham can exploit this, I really do. And to be fair, Spurs have shown quite a bit of fatigue recently. That display against Burnley was insipid, to say the least. And Spurs are, you know, can throw one of those in, but they can also bounce back. I think Derek's bet, the win to nil, does look really good, to be fair. The price is fantastic, but I just worry about the Winter Nils. You know, you're just as likely to get a fluke goal or Charlie Adam pinging one in from 60 yards. So that would worry me a little bit about that. But I think there will be goals. I wouldn't be surprised myself if they manage to get on the score sheet, actually, Aston Villa, the way they've been playing. Benteke's obviously just got that hat-trick in the week. I'd be playing over 3.5 or even Harry Kane and Christian Benteke to both score.
Incidentally, you mentioned that Charlie Adam goal. I don't know whether he still is, but with Hills early on in the week, he was 9-4 to be goal of the season. Jesus, what a bet that is. I can't.
I
just give him it now. What's been better than that? And there's only a month of the season to go.
My favourite Tim Sherwood quote after that match against QPR, he said that nobody will enjoy playing Villa on the back of that performance. They'd just drawn 3-3 at home against QPR. I mean, talk about ultimate delusion. It's right there, isn't it? On to Sunderland versus Crystal Palace, the last game this weekend. Sunderland 17-10, the draw 21-10, Crystal Palace 17-10. Headline offers here, Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win is 5-1. Glenn Murray to score and Crystal Palace to win is also in the market at 5-1. This run, Lee, that Crystal Palace have had under Alan Pardew has been absolutely incredible. And it's a pick 'em this match, 17-10 each of two.
I really like that Murray headline offer, DK. 5-1 looks a good price for a player who's in such good form. You know, Crystal Palace have just done so well under the new manager. He's given them a new sense of confidence. The body language looks much better. He seems to have, you know, put them in the right positions and told them what the jobs are, and they're just doing it. You know, look at the results since he took over. It's a brilliant job he's done, scoring goals as well, of course. Looking at the odds, I have to favour Palace here. I'm not impressed by Sunderland. I know they got that win last week, and I know it was a good win against the near rivals, but it's just one win, and you've got to say Newcastle were absolutely wretched again. We've already talked about them on this podcast. They just look doomed. You know, Derek mentioned before, you know, if they hadn't have managed to accumulate so many points, they could be in real relegation danger and might still go pretty close. So I think maybe, you know, that Sunderland result looks a bit padded. It was a wonder goal that won it as well, of course. I'm gonna stick with Palace here, I think, to win the game. I'm happy to go on the outrights. I think there'll be goals the way it's been going recently, but just a Palace win for me.
Glenn Murray to score and Crystal Palace to win is 5-2. I like Glenn Murray, Derek, because he gives hope to us all, doesn't he? Because he looks like a pub footballer, doesn't he, really?
Yeah, he does, yeah. He looks for somebody to give, you know, when he comes out of the dressing room, he comes to give his money for a valuables bag. You know, it's almost like that, isn't it? I opposed Palace last week against City because I heard the comments from the manager Pardew after the win at Stoke, and he was almost saying, like, you know, that's us safe, you know, job done, lads. You know, I have a bit of a holiday. Now, I got that wrong, but I've got a suspicion that the reason I got that wrong is they were playing Manchester City and they were live on telly. Bit different, this, isn't it? Playing Sunderland away from home. You know, you're allowed, I think, to take your foot off the gas here because, you know, not everybody's watching. You might think that, how could you say that about a Premier League footballer? But Steve Bruce, I remember once talking about Robbie Savage, our old mate, saying, look at Robbie Savage's statistics here. He's ran 6 miles against somebody or there, 6 miles against somebody or there, but against Chelsea, he ran 8 miles. Why is that? And, you know, everyone's saying, well, I don't know, you know, maybe he had to, Chelsea had all the ball. No, we were live on telly that day. Now, you know, maybe I'm a bit unkind to Robbie there, but that's what happens. But, you know, if they're live on telly, footballers are prepared to give it a bit more. They're only human, after all. I'm going to go for Sunderland here. I think that win last week against Newcastle will really give them a shot in the arm. And I know that they don't score many goals, but I think one might be enough to beat Palace. If Palace go 1-0 down at Sunderland on a scrappy Saturday, they probably want to know what's won the Grand National. I'm not having Palace here. I think they're going to give up the ghost now. I'm going to go for Sunderland.
That's not right about Robbie. He hates being the centre of attention, doesn't he, Lee?
I don't recognise that description at all, to be fair.
8 miles a season, not in a game.
Sunderland 17-10, the draw 21-10, Crystal Palace 17-10. Let's finish off with the Naps then, chaps. A little bit of effort this week wouldn't go amiss. Three losers last week.
Yeah,
I tweeted out the standings last week, so just take £10 off those, but Derek is in the lead. I'll bring the full standings back from Liverpool with me for next week.
What's your nap, Lee?
I'm going to go for quite a big one here. It's Charlie Austin to score against Chelsea. Did it at Stamford Bridge, as I mentioned before. He's in great form, scored 17 of the club's 38 Premier League goals. And at 5-2, I like that. I think Chelsea are susceptible. I think QPR will go for it, because why not? So, Charlie Austin to score any time for me.
5-2, Charlie Austin to score at any time for Lee. Derek?
I'm going to go for Everton to win at Swansea, 19-10.
19-10 for Everton to win at Swansea for Derek. You know, I'm going to go with Liverpool to hammer Newcastle this weekend. I like Liverpool minus one. I think that lands 21-20, Liverpool minus one. So that treble, Charlie Austin to score any time for QPR versus Chelsea, 5-2. Everton to win at Swansea, 19-10. Liverpool minus one at 21-20. And 19.8-1, the treble this weekend on the punt. Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you. Can I dedicate this podcast to the Wi-Fi at the services just outside Liverpool? I think it's at Warrington West, I think I'm at. Maybe, I don't know.
Full of glamour spot, eh?
Yes, it's very glamorous. There's lots of Aintree-bound women here, actually.
Thank you for your company, chaps. Thank you for everyone that listened to the podcast as well. We'll be back next week for more fun on the Premier League, the Punt podcast, and back for the midweek podcast as well on Monday afternoon. Speak again soon. It's been a pleasure, folks, and we'll be back next Monday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.